Let's look here in chapter 1 of 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Now, if you read that correctly and the way it's to be understood, I believe that first two verses is talking about none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. That is where our fellowship comes from. Look at verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. We're headed in towards revival, and I hope we can head in towards revival with a cup that's full of joy and not just partially full. The Bible said in verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Let me just ask you a personal question tonight. You ever done that? It's personal, sobering, isn't it? You ever just keep going right on to church, keep going right on through the motions when you knew something was out of order in your life? Somebody help me tonight. Don't sit there and look at me. Amen. This fellowship is something that's precious tonight. Something that's sweet. Something that needs to be guarded. Our fellowship with him. You see, our fellowship is twofold. And I think sometimes we get this backwards. In the Christian realm, when you think about fellowship, you're thinking most of the time about each other. And it's sad to say, but most of the time when you say fellowship around Baptists, you think about food. But there's something more than just food going on here. The Bible talks about when they broke bread with the apostles and they continued in their fellowship and in their doctrine, the breaking of bread and in prayers. That was just part of it, amen, the fellowship. But our fellowship, listen to me carefully right here. I'm going to get into the message in a minute if I can just get colder not to read my text, amen. I'm trying to read it myself, amen. I'm aggravating Colder. I love him, amen. If I ever quit aggravating you, Colt, you'll know I'm sick, amen, or dead, one, amen, amen. But our fellowship needs to be first vertical before it's horizontal. You see, what makes our fellowship sweet, when the horizontal fellowship is sweet, is you have two people that are having vertical fellowship, and therefore they have horizontal fellowship. I'm going to tell you, that's the sweetest thing I know of in this world. And I'm going to tell you this. If you've ever known that, nothing else will ever do. The devil will come along with all kinds of substitutes. Say amen. You know, you got, and I use that, I think, Truvia. So far they say it's okay, but about a week they'll say it's bad for you. 1 week coffee's bad for you, next week coffee's good for you. 1 week water's good for you, next week water's in a plastic bottle ain't good for you. So I hope that ain't why Sister Helen keeps setting them up here for me, because she figured out they ain't good for you. Amen. I'm just kidding you, Sister Helen. I thank the Lord for it. I bet you every time you set that up there, you say in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. She's wanting a reward. That's what it is. Amen. Amen. Our fellowship. Fellowship. Sweet. No substitute. You can substitute for sugar, but you can't substitute for the sweet fellowship with the Lord, with the Lord's people. There's no substitute for that. Now watch this. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say, I believe there's a text, I meant to look it up a while ago, isn't there a text somewhere, one of you men can help me, where it says all unrighteousness is sin? Is that not in the Bible worded about like that? All unrighteousness is sin. Does anybody know? Well, anyway, as I'm looking right now, Brother Steve's got that phone out, ain't you, brother? That's good. That's what that Bible program on that phone's good for, amen? Is it in there, Brother Steve? 1 John 5:17. Oh, we had a Bible drill with phones. Because I know my son-in-law, amen? 1 John 5:17. All unrighteous. All I had to do was turn over the page, didn't I, Bob? Amen? I thought that was in the Bible somewhere. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. In other words, he said here, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I want to read verse 1 of chapter 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. You know, Paul said, knowing the grace of God, I believe it was Romans chapter 6, he said, shall we sin that grace may abound? And he used two words. He said, God forbid. That's not the plan, amen, just to see how much we can sin so that we can see how much God can forgive. So he said his will is that we sin not in chapter number 2. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Pray with me. Father, I thank you tonight for the word of God that we have in front of us. God, I'm trying to get to this last part tonight in the message. Help me with these first two parts, please. Just get on through them. And Lord, I pray tonight that Christ would prove to be sweet in this meeting. That our fellowship, our Father, with you tonight would be so real, be so sweet. Lord, I can think of old-time preachers and old-time Christians just seem to have the dew of heaven dripping off of them, Lord. God, would you make us so sweet that somebody would want us just to taste and see that the Lord is good. I pray tonight, Father, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'll give you a couple of things tonight. First of all, there's a declaration here concerning fellowship. There's a declaration. If you look in verse number 3, he said, the things which we've seen and heard declare we unto you. And then if you go down to verse number 5, he said, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. I tell you, one of the problems in America today, I don't say this to hurt, but it's the truth. I believe we got too many people trying to tell of him that ain't heard from him. John said, I got something I want to share horizontally, because there's one sitting on the throne that shared something vertically with me. I've heard it. I've seen it. I've handled him. The word of life. That's what the Bible said. Now watch this. This declaration, there's three things here concerning the source, number one. If you look in verse number 1 and 2, that which was heard from the beginning, from the beginning, which we heard, seen with our eyes, looked upon, our hands have handled, the word of life. You remember in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. He's talking about none other than the Lord Jesus. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Now, if you don't believe that, look with me at chapter number 5 for just a moment. He's talking about the source here being God the Father, but then he's talking about the Son. That's how it came about. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 20 of chapter number 5. And we know that the Son of God has come. Aren't you glad we know that tonight? Don't you feel sorry for a world that doesn't know that tonight?
Don't you know, feel sorry for the Jewish people? I'm talking about nationally, that don't understand that the Son of God's already come. His name was Jesus. We know the Son of God has come, hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, that we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. Now watch this. This is the true God and eternal life. You can't separate the two. If you have eternal life, you have Jesus. If you have Jesus, you have eternal life. If you have Jesus and eternal life, you have God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. You cannot separate them tonight. And so we're looking at, first of all, the declaration concerning fellowship. It has to do with the source, God. Listen, I thought about this. Listen to me carefully tonight. There is someone, I believe, that desires fellowship even more than you and I do. And that's our Father. You say, preacher, how could you say that? Here's how I could say that. Remember in the cool of the day, Adam and Eve, they walked and they talked with the God of heaven. How many remembers that? Well, let me ask you something. When they fell, when they sinned and they're naked now and they realize their guilt now, who was it that made the move so they could fellowship once again? I'll tell you who it was. It was the God of heaven. It said, I'm going to shed some blood. I'm going to make coats of skins. I love them so much, I want to walk with them. Well, let me ask you this, beloved. You and I, lost in our sin, who is it that desired fellowship with you and I? The same one that gave his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on an old rugged cross. And beloved, listen tonight. I believe this would change our Christian experience if we realize tonight. You know, tonight, I'm just going to say it like this. Sawyer's a mess. You know who made him that way? It wasn't his daddy. It was his papaw. But can I tell you something about Sawyer? Sawyer loves to be up in my lap. He don't care if he's sideways, upside down, right side up. It doesn't matter to him, amen. He just loves to be up in my lap. And I tell you what, he likes that. He desires that. But can I tell you, there's one that desires that more than he does. Amen. I tell you tonight, there's a God in heaven that wants you and I, beloved, to be so close to him that there's nothing between us and him, and fellowship with him in his precious word. Fellowship with him in his church. Fellowship with him through the blessed Holy Spirit of God. There's a declaration concerning fellowship, the source, we see the Son, and then concerning the saints. The Bible said in verse number 3 that we have fellowship, that you also may have fellowship with us. John said, I want you to have fellowship with me. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Let me just say this tonight. Listen, I don't say this to be hurtful, but I believe it's a fact. God has put this in my heart. Real revival brings real joy. And let me just say it like this. I believe real joy brings real revival. Amen. And I believe what the world needs to see, amen, is the joy of God in your life and in my life. And that, listen, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of one preacher said, how you doing? Another preacher said, pretty good under the circumstances. That preacher said, what are you doing under there? We're not supposed to live. Listen, the Apostle Paul said, thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're not supposed to live under the circumstances. We're supposed to live unto the Savior. We're supposed to live in fellowship with him. Let me give you this tonight. I'm trying to hurry. Watch this tonight. There's a declaration concerning fellowship in chapter number 1 here, but there's a deception concerning fellowship. In chapter number 1. You remember where the Bible uses the word here? It said if we say that we have no sin, it said here, we deceive ourselves. Have you ever had a thought run through your mind like this, something like this? See if I can get it real close. I know it ain't right, but it ain't none of nobody's business. Have you ever had a thought run through your mind like this? I know it ain't right, but it ain't hurting nobody but me. Am I getting close to home tonight? I know they don't nobody know about it. How many knows that right there is a lie out of hell? We have a Father in heaven that knows everything tonight. Amen. He knows all about you, and he knows all about me. And the fact of the matter is, what blows my mind is he loves us anyway, and he wants to fellowship with us anyway. There's a deception concerning fellowship. There's a deception concerning darkness. In chapter number 1 and verse number 5 and 6, the Bible said, we declare unto you that God is light. The book of Corinthians said, in him's no darkness at all. The book of Corinthians said, what fellowship hath light with darkness? Somebody answer me that in a word. None. Light cannot fellowship with darkness. Righteousness cannot fellowship with unrighteousness. The Savior cannot fellowship with sin. Now watch this tonight. There's a deception. You say, preacher, where's the deception? The Bible said if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. I'll tell you something tonight. You're not going to be saved very long. And you'll be trying to deceive yourself. Somebody help me tonight. Why, that ain't too bad. Our kids are going back to school. And they'll get that attitude. Well, compared to what old so-and-so is doing, I'm doing pretty good. Let me ask you something. How are we doing compared to how the Savior's doing? The Bible said they that compare themselves with themselves are not wise. That's not wise. Amen. We're supposed to be vertical. That fellowship vertical. And comparing ourselves with him. There's a deception concerning darkness, thinking we can walk in darkness and still have fellowship with him. That's being deceived. There's a deception concerning denial. In verse number 8, if we say that we have no sin, I'm going to get into this in a minute. This is where I'm wanting to get to in the message tonight, and we may need to go to 5 or 10 minutes after 8. But let me give you this. Where I'm wanting to get to is the life of David. I believe after David had Uriah killed, he slept with Bathsheba, he has Uriah, Bathsheba's now pregnant, he gets Uriah drunk, he has Uriah killed, he's got the whole thing covered up. You read 2 Samuel chapter number 11, the last verse said, but the thing which David did displeased the Lord. I believe the whole time, that whole time between when David sinned and when Nathan shows up, I believe David is living in denial. He's denying it. But I tell you, hallelujah, I can't wait to get to it in the message. You get into chapter number 12, honey, and business is fixing to pick up. That denial is going to change. And David's going to get something back that's precious to him called fellowship with God. Now watch this. There's a deception concerning darkness, a deception concerning denial, and then there's a deception concerning duty. In verse number 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You say, preacher, what do you mean a deception concerning duty? Here it is. We think that whether we're fellowshipping with him or not, we can fellowship one with another. We have a duty to fellowship one with another, but we can't do it without fellowship with him. We think we can perform and do what God wants us to do, whether we're fellowshipping with him or not. That's not true. We cannot do our duty to the God of heaven without fellowshipping with him. The Bible said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. It is my duty to pray. But if I don't have fellowship with him, Brother Colder, he's not even hearing my prayer. That's why the Bible talks about praying in the Spirit. You say, preacher, what's the importance of that? Well, listen, if there's anything relayed from earth to heaven, the Holy Ghost has to do it. And if the Holy Ghost is grieved in our life, he's not doing it. Am I right or am I wrong? And so fellowship. There's a declaration concerning fellowship. There's a deception concerning fellowship. But I want to give you this tonight. It may not take long. There's a decision concerning fellowship. I don't know about you tonight. I know tonight, listen to me carefully, I learned something along the way. I know it is a fact of Scripture that nobody, no sinner ever gets saved apart from the dealing of the Spirit of God in that sinner's life. You can call it conviction. That's a good Bible word. You can call it drawing. Jesus said, no man cometh unto me except the Father which has sent me. Draw him. The Bible said, no man seeketh after God. And then the Bible turned around and said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. He can be found, beloved, when he initiates the drawing process. And he's fingering around the heart of that individual. I may find out when I get to heaven that I'm wrong about this. But I don't think I am. I believe just as no sinner ever gets saved without the dealing of the Holy Ghost, I don't believe any saint ever gets right without the dealing of the Holy Ghost. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I'm talking about, listen, I lived my life 27 years lost. You want to know why? Because there were blinders on. There was a deception involved. And I'm going to tell you something. When the Spirit of God pulls the blinders off and you can see the truth of who he is and the truth of who you are, then, beloved, listen, you can get saved by the grace of God. But I think just as much, beloved, when we're saved by the grace of God and there's something going on in our life that's not right and God pulls the blinders off and we see that for what it is, sin, and see him for who he is, the Savior, then we can get right with God. I believe that's what happens. I'm going to show it to you in just a moment in David's life. You say, preacher, what kind of decision? I really felt I needed to say all that because there's a decision involved, but it's more than a decision is what I'm trying to say. Just like when a man gets saved, there's a decision involved, but you don't just wake up one morning and decide, I'm going to get saved. But when the Spirit of God deals in our heart, then we need to decide. Am I going to respond to him or am I going to go on in my own way? When the Spirit of God deals with a saint's heart, it's the same way. Am I going to respond to him or am I going to keep smoothing it over? Am I going to keep making excuses? Am I going to keep denying? Am I going to keep my state of deception? Or am I going to come clean with God? Watch this now. I'll give you three things hurriedly. What happened was we need to decide to confess. In verse number 9 of chapter number 1, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I underlined a few things. In verse number 7, you have the phrase, cleanses us from all sin. If we say in verse number 8, no sin. If we confess our sins, he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In verse number 10, not sin, have not sinned. In verse number 1 of chapter number 2, that you sin not. Seems to me like sin has a whole lot to do with whether or not a believer walks in fellowship with God. I can say that scripturally, but I can also say that by experience. Can I get a little help from the congregation tonight? I don't think it's time to shine our halos just yet. We're not home. And I think the person in the building, I don't know who that individual is that's walking the closest to God tonight, appreciates the most what I'm saying tonight about sin. Brother Pete was preaching in the prison several years ago. Brother Pete Barber, loved Brother Pete. He said to those men, sin. That's what he did. He said, it just sounds bad, don't it? The middle letter in sin is I. That's how it all got introduced. Lucifer said, I will exalt my throne above thy throne. The middle letter in pride is I. And if there's anything in this world that will rob a believer of fellowship, These six things doth the Lord God hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Anybody know what the first one was? A proud look. The last one was he that soweth discord among the brethren. Let me just say this to you tonight. Oh, we would maybe treat that last one with disdain, but if we're not careful, we'll pet that first one. The only thing you and I have a right to be proud of is Jesus. It ought to humble us tonight to think that he would come all the way down here. You know, I heard this one time, fellowship, that's two fellows in the same ship. You know what God did? God took on the form of a man and got in our ship. Hallelujah. Went to Calvary and died in our place so that two fellows could be in the same ship and could fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Beloved, tonight there's a decision involved. They decide to confess. In verse number 9 and verse number 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. We decide to be clean. When we decide to confess, we want to be clean and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I told somebody one time, maybe you can relate to this, maybe you can, but I tell you, sometimes I just wish I could get saved again. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? How many remembers when you got saved? How many remembers how clean? I'm telling you, honey, whoo, I ain't never been that clean before in my life, amen. But thank God tonight when he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb, he sees me just as clean as he was the day he cleansed me. My salvation is not dependent upon my confession, but my fellowship is. I'll tell you tonight, we decide to confess, we decide to be clean, and then let me just give you this tonight. We decide. You want to know why we decide? That person that goes on and on and on and on in sin, you want to know why they never decide? I'll tell you why. They're not one of his children. How many believes if you're a child of God, you get involved with sin, you're going to run out of rope. You're going to run out of road. You're going to run out of excuses. Because there's a God that says, hey, listen, we can either decide to break with sin because we're his children, or we'll decide to break with sin because of chastisement. Somebody help me tonight. I believe that God wants us to heed the warning before he has to come with that stick and chastise us tonight. Go with me, if you will, in your Bibles, please, to the book of Samuel, 2 Samuel, chapter number 12. You remember tonight that over in the book of Psalms, that's where you find, Psalm 51 is where you find David's confession. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. The Bible said, going along with the points in this decision here, you remember when David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Maybe in your Christian life, you've never had to pray that, but I'm just going to tell you tonight I have. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Maybe a whole lot of that is the whirlwind that I sowed to before I got saved. But I'm telling you, it's a battle for this preacher to keep a clean heart. Thinking about that verse today and meditating on it and reading it, thought I might even preach on it, Brother Brian. Whatsoever things are pure and lovely and right, think on these things. I know that's one of your favorite passages. Thinking about the verse to go along with that where Paul said, I bring every thought into captivity. Boys, I tell you, I ain't there yet. I want to get there, but I'm not there yet. I would to God I could bring every thought into captivity. Watch this tonight. In chapter 12, the Lord sent Nathan unto David. David's content
David's not thinking too much about it.
But there's a God in heaven that misses David's fellowship more than David misses David's fellowship. So he sends Nathan. He sends the prophet. He sends the man of God. He said, "Preacher, you mean to tell me what's went on in chapter 11 that God called that man a man after God's own heart?" He sure did. You know what that does? That gives me just a little bit of hope. What are you trying to say, preacher? He knows our frame. If it had been me, I wouldn't have preached Peter on the day of Pentecost. Brother John, I'd have preached John. If it had been me, pick you a preacher. I'd have got the one that leaned on his bosom. I'd have got the one that went all the way to Calvary. I'd have got the one that where Jesus said, "Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother." I wouldn't have got one that walked afar off. I wouldn't have got one that cursed. I wouldn't have got one that denied. But see, I'm not God. I believe God knew there'd be a whole lot more of us in this world like the Apostle Peter than like the Apostle John. He tried to give us a little hope, trying to tell us he can use us. But we've got to have fellowship. You see, Peter, he got that thing right, didn't he? He's out there fishing. I go a-fishing. He takes the rest of them boys with him. Jesus said, "Boys, have you caught anything?" He said, "No, we've fished all night. Children, have you any meat?" What he said, "Cast your net on the right side." "Nevertheless, at thy word, they let down the net. Now the net's full of fishes." I told somebody one time, I know how to call a turkey. I know how to call a dog. "Come here, boy." I don't want to know how to call a cat. Just don't tell Miss Eve. Know a little bit how to call a deer, but I don't know how you call fish. But Jesus said to them fish, "All right, boys, it's time." He told them to hide out all night. How many of y'all believe that? Say amen. They was professional fishermen. And all they got was a bunch of junk in their nets. Oh boy, that's a good statement right there. That's all we'll get without fellowship with him too. There's a bunch of junk in their nets. Watch this. I'm trying to hurry. "And he came unto him, and he said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich, the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter." This poor man's got a lamb, and it's more like a child than it is something to eat or a pet. "There came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man." In other words, he got a whole herd of sheep. But he wouldn't take one of his. What he done here, he come unto him, and he took the poor man's lamb, and he dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled. Isn't it wonderful how easy it is to see somebody else's mistakes? Isn't it wonderful how easy it is to be angry at somebody else's mistakes? I meant what I said tonight about that mother that's hooked on drugs. That's close to home for me. But let me tell you something tonight. That is the living grace of God that it's not me. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" I'm talking about stupid things I did when I was a teenager and experimented with when I was a teenager. Somebody help me tonight. I'm not looking down my nose at that youngin. That youngin's going to die without God and go to hell if she don't get saved. I'm glad somebody's there. Brother Aaron's there for that baby. I hope and pray to God that that baby will be all right. But I'm telling you tonight, it's easy to judge somebody else. That's what David's doing. He's listening to this story Nathan's telling, and he doesn't even realize that Nathan's telling on him. Listen to the rest of this. God showed me another truth right here today, Brother Steve. This is just absolutely awesome. Watch this. The Bible said here, David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. He said unto Nathan, as the Lord liveth, as the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. Watch this. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. David's not ready for this. Most of the time we ain't ready when the Holy Ghost comes either. Most of the time he comes when you least expect it. He'll show up. Watch what the Bible said here. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Oh, I love this, Brother Ralph. Here's a man of God. He knows that Uriah's done been killed. And he realizes I might be next, but he don't care. I'm going to stand up and do what God told me to do. He's just like Esther. If I perish, I perish. I'm going to do what God told me to do. I like it. Oh, God, give us a country full of men that'll do what God tells them to do, regardless of the consequences. The Bible said here, Nathan said, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah, and if that had been too little, I would moreover have given thee such and such things. You say, preacher, what did you get out of that? Here's what I got, Brother Brian. And knoweth not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Didn't you send that to me a while back in the text, brother? I had never caught that, brother. In other words, the man of God's not rehearsing to David his sin. He's rehearsing to David the goodness of the Savior that he sinned against. And if you ain't never experienced that, you don't have any idea what's going on here. But I do. I've been good to you, boy. Look how you treat me. Honey, I'm going to tell you something right now. The goodness of God don't just lead sinners to repentance. The goodness of God will lead saints to repentance as well. I don't know if anybody's getting anything out of this tonight. But John said, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. What happens in Psalm 51? I'm going to quit just a minute or two, maybe five. What happens in Psalm 51? Y'all remember? Here's what happens. You get down there. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. You got to realize they're in a different economy in the Old Testament. Amen. David realizes he's running the risk now of God taking his hand off of his life. He did, Saul. Taking his hand off of his ministry. He said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And then he said this, restore unto me the... What did he say? Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted unto thee. You know what I believe tonight? I believe it's a sin to try to tell somebody else about Jesus if you're not walking in fellowship with him. If you don't have the joy of the Lord in your life, and I don't have the joy of the Lord in my life, then you tell me, beloved. Listen, he said, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted unto thee. Hallelujah tonight. John got it right. There needs to be fellowship so that we can have fellowship. How many believes that's right? There's a declaration concerning fellowship. There's a deception concerning fellowship. Has anybody been besides me ever been deceived concerning fellowship? Oh, honey, you can go right through the motions. Oh, you say, preacher, don't nobody know it. That's always wrong. There's one that knows it. By the way, most of us have a wife that knows it. Somebody help me. I believe God uses them sometimes like the Holy Spirit. Say amen. You better not discard everything they say, just most. Amen. I got something today. I'm going to give this to you and I'm done. John Wesley said, I want the whole Christ for my Savior, the whole Bible for my book, the whole church for my fellowship, and the whole world for my mission field. You know what I believe tonight? Listen to me carefully. This will help a church. All this will help any church. There's no way that we can be fellowship in this way. Listen to me carefully. And pick and choose who we're going to fellowship with this way. Somebody help me right there. Say amen. Listen to this. I thought you'd like this. I wish Brother John Mason was here. He used to drive a truck for a living. In the fall of the year, Linda, a young woman, was traveling alone up the rugged highway from Alberta to the Yukon. I'd like to went with her hunting. Anyway, Linda didn't know that you don't travel to Whitehorse alone in a rundown Honda Civic. So she set off where only four-wheel drives normally venture. The first evening, she found a room in the mountains near a summit and asked for a 5 a.m. wake-up call so she could get an early start. She couldn't understand why the clerk looked so surprised at the request. But as she awoke to the early morning fog shrouding the mountaintops, she understood. Not wanting to look foolish, she got up and went to breakfast. Two truckers invited Linda to join them, and since the place was so small, she felt obliged. Where are you headed? One of the truckers asked. She said, Whitehorse. They said, in that little Civic? No way. This pass is dangerous in weather like this. She said, well, I'm determined to try. That was her gutsy, yet very informed, if not very informed response. Then I guess we're just going to have to hug you, the trucker suggested. Linda drew back and she said, there's no way I'm going to let you touch me. Not like that, the truckers chuckled. We'll put one truck in front of you and one in the rear. In that way, we'll get you through the mountains. All that foggy morning, Linda followed the two red dots in front of her and had the reassurance of a big escort behind as they made their way safely through the mountains. Caught in the fog in our dangerous passage through life, we need to be hugged with fellow Christians who know the way and can lead safely ahead of us and with others behind, gently encouraging us along. We too can pass safely. That's an illustration just to say this simple thing. We need each other. We need each other's fellowship. But we can't even have that unless we have fellowship with Him. I'm just glad you come tonight. It's good to be saved. It's good to hear from heaven, isn't it? It's good to know that there's somebody that wants to fellowship with us more than we want to fellowship with Him. Appreciate you coming tonight. Father, thank you for our people, our teens that are gathered tonight, the children that will be gathering soon, and the Wednesday night warriors. God, tonight, thank you for Brother John here in the Bible.
Lord, he's on target. Thank you, Lord, that you showed us truth tonight from a man that was a man after your own heart. Thank you, God. We know sin comes with a price tag. We know sin breaks fellowship. But Lord, I'm glad you are a forgiving God. Though the consequences never left David's house, Lord, the joy was restored in his life, and you used him for many more years to come. God, I pray you'd use our church. I pray you'd use each family. I pray, God, you'd use this pastor. Our people tonight, Lord, that are hurting, I pray you'll minister to them. I pray, Lord, tonight, the rest of this week, our fellowship would just be sweet. And Lord, may we have a bunch of people coming in on Sunday morning with honey dripping off of them because they've been with the Savior. The Bible said they took knowledge of them, talking about Peter and John, that they had been with Jesus. Lord, help us to be with you, that we might be like you, that we might, Lord, represent you in this wicked world that we live. In Jesus' name. All God's people said,